understand this, that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and indulging their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And the second, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. I like insects for their stupidity, writes Annie Dillard. A paper wasp is fumbling at the stained glass window on my right. I saw the same sight in the same spot last Sunday. Psst! Idiot! Sweetheart! Go around! By the door! I hope we seem as endearingly stupid to God. Bumbling down into lamps, running half-wit across the floor, banging for days and days on the hinge of an opened door. I hope so, she concludes, though it does not seem likely. Not likely, I think, but with God, all things are possible. Possible because of all the ancient attributes ascribed to God: omnipotence, omniscience, immutability, impassibility. The one most missed by those of us impatiently trying to fly through a closed window when the door stands wide open is the attribute of God's patience. We define God's patience, wrote my favorite old theologian, as God's will to allow us the space and the time for the development of our own existence. That God does not suspend and destroy us, but accompanies us and sustains us and allows us to develop in freedom, is God's patience. We are paper wasps, you and I. Collectively, we are a hive of hits and misses who have been given the time and the space to develop the one precious life of ours in freedom. Yet our misspent days are marked by all the blind alleys we have entered confidently, convinced Chances are, of course, in quitting the rat race or the marriage, in embracing a lover or a new lifestyle half the distance to the grave, we do not do much more than exchange one window pane for another. Now, viewed from the perspective of God, who not only has given us time and space and freedom to become the person we were put on earth to be, but who also upholds and sustains and directs and governs us every step of the way, it must be maddening to see us hitting our heads against the same window Sunday after Sunday, refusing the means of grace season in and season out, confusing the truth for the facts in the story of our salvation, complaining about this unfair circumstance and that almighty slight in prayer, testifying to God's absence and the Spirit's silence when the word which entered our darkness and doubt and confusion and pain is patiently pleading for us over and over again, saying, "Psst, idiot, sweetheart, go around by the door." But there's a second thing to notice about our idiocy. For in the midst of our lives headed nowhere in particular, God's patience does not strike us as something for which to be grateful. The daily lived evidence that God does not suspend and destroy us, but accompanies us and sustains us, is neither here nor there to us. God's patience does not come to mind as an attribute for which to be thankful when, weary from batting our head against the stained glass, we say our prayers at the end of the day. Nor does patience present itself to us as a trait to emulate when we rise at dawn to try again. In fact, if pressed, we likely would say that we are the ones with the patience in this relationship. I waited patiently for the Lord, writes the psalmist, and we know just what he's talking about. We are those who have waited for God to cure an illness, waited for God to heal a broken relationship, waited for God to make the future a bit clearer, waited for God to intervene in the chaos of human history, waited for God's voice to break the silence of our prayers. Some of us have freely entered this time and this space because we want to hear from God, not when God gets around to it, but now. A word, a sign, a lifting of the veil. Through great patience in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger, we say with the Apostle Paul, we have kept God we have been given to call upon. Rather, the omnipotent, holy, righteous God of gods is the God whose patience, or to use the biblical word for this, whose long-suffering knows no end. Why? Is it because even though we are stupid, we are endearingly stupid to God? And so God puts up with our not getting it? Or as the old reformers believe, and as our text affirms, is this veil of tears an arena for our sanctification, meaning an arena giving us time and space to grow imperceptibly, gracefully, to be more holy ourselves, creatures made in the image of God? Or maybe like a patient but powerless father, God lives in the indomitable hope that with enough time and space, with enough freedom and grace, we will come to ourselves and turn toward home. Whatever the reason, patience has marked God's every move toward us from the beginning to the end of the biblical witness. God never seems to weary of trying to get himself across. Word after word, he tries in search of the right word, says Frederick Buechner. When the creation itself doesn't seem to say it right, sun, moon, stars, all of it, he tries flesh and blood. Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, and in their wake, the children of Israel enter forever into a covenant relationship with the God whose patience is tried by God's impatient creatures. Until God tries one final word. The word spoken from the beginning and made flesh in the fullness of time. To see and hear and feel and recognize the power of God's patience, says Karl Barth, is to believe in Jesus Christ. Or if you cannot quite believe in him, even though God is waiting patiently for you to take the leap, then learn of him in the flesh to know the patience that is the fruit of the Spirit. In him, behold a patient teacher who traverses miles and mountainsides with his followers until, at the end, he is left to ask, "Have I been with you all this time and still you do not understand?" In him, meet a shepherd who has pity on the crowds and with forbearance watches his mostly clueless disciples fumble around with excuses until a miracle is necessary to feed the hungry. In him, watch a friend who responds to the cries of Martha and Mary that their brother be healed, be brought back from the dead, but responds not before Lazarus has died. Jesus' patience meeting Martha and Mary's impatience. That all might see and believe the power of God's love over this death in anticipation of his own. In him, learn from a rabbi who taught day after day on the hillsides, healing and helping and showing compassion, only to be abandoned by the crowds in the end. And finally, in him, see a sentient human being living in the face of death, even death on a cross, revealing life's purpose and meaning, praying with his last breath to a patient father, "Forgive them. Forgive these paper wasps. claim is this, that because God in Christ entered the time and the space given us for being human in, every time and every space has been redeemed from insignificance. Every moment brimming with possibility. How else in the fullness of time could God get word to us that the door is open? The door is open, and all we need do by the grace already given us is follow him through it. There can be little doubt that patience is not exactly on our side of this divine human encounter. Though I must say finally that the greatest manifestation of God's patience, the most incredible challenge to God's patience, century in and century out, is none other than Christ's church. Here we are, with this incredible word given into our keeping, with this message of grace and mercy and truth intended for a world broken into pieces, with this story to be said and sung and set loose in a city shooting itself in the foot, with a Savior whose love for us knows no bounds. And what do we do but throw tantrums collectively over ecclesial minutiae, create task forces to figure out every 5 years where we exist, call meetings into the night to decide whether the bread at communion is white or wheat, mince words over absolutely nothing of consequence? In 2,000 years, writes Dillard, we have not worked out the cakes. We positively glorify them. Week after week, we witness the same miracle, she says, that God is so mighty, he can stifle his own laughter, and apparently this morning you can stifle yours. Week after week, we witness the same miracle, that God, for reasons unfathomable, refrains from blowing our dancing bear act to smithereens. That God does not suspend and destroy us, but accompanies and sustains us and allows us to develop in freedom. God's patience. So far, this has been the case, even with the Presbyterian Church of Chestnut Hill. The reality of our lives together lived under the amazing grace of God's patience is that God has not and will not blow our dancing bear act to smithereens. God has given us the time and the space to do that all by ourselves. And the only reason that this has not happened in the past 2,000 years must be because the Lord is patient, not wanting any to perish, but wanting all to come to repentance. Therefore, our hope is secured, and the future of God's people is held fast in him who alone has borne the weight of our stupidity and loves us still. Sunday after Sunday, he watches us hit our heads on the same glass window, and Sunday after Sunday says to us collectively, "Psst, idiots, sweethearts, go around, by the door, follow me." Whatever the door, and however circuitous the route around, I impatiently pray we are given grace to hear him in the time and space we are given together, to follow him, albeit haltingly, to the ends of the earth, and to be by his grace those whose stupidity